Hello, I'm Jordan Rich, welcoming you to the Amy Lynch Investigations Podcast with author P.K. Norton. Here we talk about the origins of Amy's adventures, how they grew out of people and events in Paula's own life, and how much fun the authors had in putting it all together. Paula, it's great to sit down with you, the creator of Amy Lynch. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
And it's great to take you away from the typewriter for a few minutes so we can chat. Did you always know you wanted to do this, or is this a late-in-the-game kind of decision?
I was born with it. There are actually two things I always wanted to do in my life. One was be an author, and the other was be a Jeopardy champion.
Let's see. Have we seen you on Jeopardy anytime recently?
No. I finally have realized that ship has sailed.
Now, you don't have to answer every one of my questions with a question, however.
But let me tell you, I said to one of my nieces, I'm kind of bummed about this because I really wanted my obituary to say I was a Jeopardy champion.
Well, 50 years from now or more, we'll have to check that out.
Well, she said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll put it in there anyway. Nobody's going to check.
Well, in a way, you're solving mysteries when you're a panelist on Jeopardy. You're doing the same thing as a writer.
Yeah. I've been writing since I learned how to write.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Your husband, Jack, your mate for so many years, somebody you love dearly, was really an inspiration to you, wasn't he?
He was the driving force.
So how did that come about? Was it just something he always nagged you to do because you loved it?
Well, I talked about it for around 20 years and never did anything about it. And finally, we were in Nantucket having cocktails at the Brotherhood of Thieves, and he said to me, you know, you got to stop talking about this. It's time to do something.
You realize that often it's the wife who nags the husband.
No, I can't say nagged exactly. But he said, you know, he was sick of listening to it. Let's do something about it. So we sat there and spent the afternoon having cocktails and inventing Amy Lynch.
It's actually quite beneficial to be in a place like Nantucket you're a budding writer or an experienced one, isn't it? It's conducive to writing.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about another locale that's important, but we'll get there in a few. But he actually got you to think about it. And talk about the Brotherhood of Thieves. What is that all about?
It's a really cool restaurant that last time I was there did not even have electricity.
Well, it just sounds like the kind of place that a mystery would ensue.
Oh, absolutely. And we were sitting on the patio. It's just a lovely place to be.
Now, Amy Lynch, let's talk about this wonderful character who's the star of your books. She's born there, or is she germinating before there?
We created her that day, but it was something that was just totally natural to me.
Totally natural. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The name, does it mean anything to you, Amy and Lynch?
Amy was my dog's name.
Ah, okay.
Her name was Amy Priscilla.
Okay.
I dropped the Priscilla. And I had a great-grandmother named Lynch.
There you go.
And I had to write about somebody Irish because that's what I know.
Absolutely. You write what you know. Now, you have said that Amy is, quote-unquote, a better version of you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we could ever imagine a better version of you, Paula.
Easily. I'm younger and thinner.
Okay. Describe her because we're going to be talking about the books and other podcasts, but describe her, if you would.
She's 4'11".
Okay.
Which I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
She's cute, which I used to be.
You still are. Cut that out.
She has curls, which I never had.
Okay.
And physically, that's about it.
But what about personality?
She's very feisty.
Mm.
She's funny. She's bold.
It's fun to create somebody who's got some of the stuff that you might not exhibit in everyday life. You can be that person, that bold person, right?
She says the things I don't dare. I wasn't always so well behaved, but now I am.
Now, you point out, too, that Sue Grafton, the great mystery writer that everybody knows, you know, the alphabet lady, she said something that stuck with you, that it's important to get the technology right.
She kept all her books in the 1980s because she didn't want to have to deal with any technology.
Mm-hmm.
And she's right. I can't keep up with things anyway. And by the time you start a book, and you get it out on the market, everything's changed.
Yeah, we're talking months or years, right?
We're talking at least a year. Okay. And I'm just not going to deal with that.
Now, here you are, a budding podcast star, as you say that. You're on the most hip medium of all out there, but good for you. So the technology changes, but your basic core stuff is going to be the same.
Yeah. I mean, Amy has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. She does text, but she'd rather speak with people. And anytime she can get anybody else to do the technological stuff for her, she does.
It's not a bad way to live your life.
No,
talking
it's not.
To people directly. How about a concept, huh?
I know it. It's amazing.
Now, why mystery? Why not romance or something?
Well, that's Carolyn Keene's fault.
Who's Carolyn Keene?
She wrote Nancy Drew.
Oh.
You can
so ashamed I didn't know that. Sorry.
You can ask any woman in the world who writes mysteries, and she'll say it's all because of Nancy Drew.
So you're a young girl reading her.
Oh, yeah.
And just enveloped in that character. And mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of novels. We get to pretend in our mind that we're this person. So
yeah.
So Amy Lynch comes along. And she's not a cop. She's not a private eye. What is her occupation?
She's an insurance investigator.
Now, is there a personal connection to that?
I spent 30 years in the insurance industry. I never got to be an investigator per se, but mm-hmm. Got exposed to a lot of stuff. And it's something I know about that I can deal with and I can turn into a fun story.
Well, you're right. You've been in the business long enough to know that people try to get away with all kinds of interesting things.
Oh, yeah. I can actually spot a phony Brazilian license.
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know what one looks like. I don't know what a real Brazilian license looks
like.
Well,
now I do.
Yeah. That's really cool. Now, you say you were focused totally on the mystery part of it when you started. Tell us about that.
I started writing and it was just the story, the story, the story.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack read my first few chapters and he said, "Whoa, Amy's a whole person. She has a life. You've got to give her something in her life besides just the job."
Yeah, so there's a memorable facet to this that and also something we can latch on to.
Mm-hmm.
He was very perceptive, Jack was.
Yeah, he was. In a quirky kind of way. But so the next thing I knew, Amy had a deceased fiance named Danny and a current boyfriend named Pete and a dog named Sam.
There you go. Now, you talk about the structure of it. And we've got a great part of this podcast where you're going to talk about what you learned at a writer's conference.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. But let's talk about structure. I mean, did you have the end in your mind before you had the beginning or what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to know the whole story before I can start it.
I can't imagine not knowing that.
And then you have to twist it and turn it around.
It's like having an endpoint on a map and a treasure hunt, and you're going to have to get there in various ways, but you know where you're going to end up.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Okay.
Now, some writers don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves pantsers because they write by the seat of their pants. I could no more do that. I don't know.
Well, do you also find, and I've interviewed scores of writers over the years, do you also find that at times the characters develop their own sort of path and they take over a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that makes it fun.
Okay. We're going to get into that when we talk about the individual novels. So I want to bring up the Cape Cod Writers Center. Cape Cod is famous for a lot of things, for great seafood, beaches, and writing.
Absolutely.
Tell me about your first encounter.
Jack and I joined together as he wanted to be. I mean, he was more involved than me half the time, I think. And we signed up for some classes, and he came to every class with me.
Isn't that sweet?
He took really good notes. He'd grill me in the car on the way home about this and that and the other thing.
You know, it's interesting, and you and I have done other interviews together. Writing is such a slog and chore because it takes so much time and you're basically alone with your thoughts and your imagination. It's so great to have somebody who can boost you and give you a thumbs up and also give you a little nudge.
He was my biggest critic and my biggest fan.
That's wonderful.
We really enjoyed taking the classes together, and he worked along with me as I wrote everything.
You describe yourself as an independent spirit, and you say that the biggest thing in mystery writing, of course, is following the rules, something you weren't quite thrilled to learn.
I don't like rules. I honestly believe they shouldn't have to apply to me, but the rest of the world doesn't agree.
Well, so let's run down what it is you learn. And these are great tips for budding – I keep using the word budding – for inspired writers. Let's talk about some of these.
When you're writing a mystery, first thing is you need to play fair. You can't do what Agatha Christie used to do. Now, she had a deus ex machina at the end. You need to give the reader appropriate information and enough clues that they have a shot at figuring it out.
Well, isn't that the reason we want to get into mysteries, so that we can try to figure it out? And I mean, I don't mind being tricked and flummoxed at the end, but it's nice to know that you're giving that reader a chance.
They deserve a shot, or they're not going to read you again. They also like to learn something.
Mm.
More than one person has said this to me, and I try to weave something into every story that the reader feels like they've learned something, like fencing.
We'll talk about fencing
as we move along
because that's a big part of your life. And also just the occupation of insurance investigator. I remember hearing an old radio show back in the 40s. Well, I wasn't there in the 40s, but in the recent days. Insurance investigator, and the music would swell.
Johnny Dollar.
That's it, Johnny Dollar.
Thank you.
Also fun. And but people think insurance, they get, you know, John Hancock and you know, Darren. No, he was in advertising. I'm thinking of Bewitched. Any of those sitcom dads who carried a briefcase. But Amy's got a very exciting job, very interesting job that takes her in all kinds of different directions.
Yeah, insurance is just the platform. You start out with a claim, and it develops into a wonderful mystery.
So you said at first one of the tips was you have to play fair, respect your readers. What about the idea of faking it? You say it's impossible. You can't do that to be successful.
Nope. You have to do your research. You have to get it right. And you develop a network of people that you can bounce things off of.
Such as in your case?
Oh, the chief medical examiner, a forensic examiner for the state of Connecticut. I've got a retired police chief that I email with procedural questions. When I was working on my book that's coming out shortly, I met with some firefighters, and they kind of set me straight.
So you go right to the source because that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
Although sometimes when I have a question, I'll just do a Facebook post and see what people come back with.
I mean, can you imagine James Michener, who did all that research for his huge novels by literally traveling from place to place? Now you can at least do it via the computer.
I'd rather travel.
Yes. They should give you a bigger budget at the publishing firm to do that.
Once I did a Facebook post asking, can anybody tell me what it would sound like and smell like if you shot a gun off in a closed room? And I got a lot of really interesting feedback.
There's an answer for everything. And an opinion and a theory about everything.
And it piques people's curiosity.
Number four, you say it's important to wrap things up.
Yes.
Meaning?
You need a final chapter where everything that came out in the story comes to some sort of a conclusion. You can't have any loose ends.
Right. It really drives readers and watchers of shows crazy when a movie leaves you or a book leaves you hanging. And what happened to this guy?
Well, leaving things hanging is my natural instinct. So I really need to work at this part.
Well, we're not going to inspect your home for any untidied rooms or closets or whatever. We don't care about that. No. What about this next one? I think it relates to what we talked about with Jack, saying that Amy needed to be a full person. Protagonists need to be flawed.
Absolutely. Flaws are what make them interesting.
What's an example? Just give me one example of what readers will find in Amy that is a little...
Well, on the job, she doesn't play well with others.
Oh, okay.
She's very independent. She has commitment issues in her personal life, and she takes a lot of big risks.
Okay, that's a lot of us. We can identify with
that. Well, she learned that one from me. Let me tell you the biggest risk I took. I hijacked a car in Paris once.
All right. But we're going to stop here and investigate this story. This sounds like a novel in its own right. You hijacked a car.
Yeah.
Little you.
I was living in Paris, and my friend Mitzi and I wanted to go to Amsterdam for the weekend, but we didn't have any money. And it was 1969, so we figured we'll hitchhike. And nobody was picking us up. We're in the north side of Paris, and the traffic just kept going by. So we went and stood by a traffic light. And when it turned red, we jumped in this guy's back seat.
You just entrevue right in there?
And he turned around and gave us a funny look, and we said, please just take us out of the city and drop us on the highway. And he said, okay.
Boy, when you said to me you're feisty, that's a definition of feisty.
I think about things I used to do now, and I think, oh, my God, it's a wonder I'm still alive.
Youth is wasted on the young.
But it was fun.
What a great story. You might read something about that kind of thing in an upcoming novel, folks. You never know. And the final point that you learned from that conference that you've been adopting for your books is the characters and the storylines have to evolve. You can't just keep writing the same book year after year.
No. They need to grow and change. And actually, now that I don't have Jack to bounce things off of, I bounce them off of people in my exercise class. We had a big discussion the other day about, by book five, should Amy get engaged to Pete?
Well, what was the consensus?
Most of them said probably.
Ah, okay. So. We should mention Jack has passed.
Yes, he has.
But he would be so proud of you, and sure, he is proud of you, knowing that these books are just rolling out and people love them.
He may be deceased. He is not gone.
There you go. There's another thing that we wanted to touch on before we wrap up this first podcast, and that is things that will attract a reader.
Yeah, assuming your readers still go to bookstores. You need a great cover, you need a great back cover, and you need a great first page.
First page.
Yeah. When anybody picks a book up in a bookstore, they pick it up, first of all, because the cover is attractive.
Right.
And then they read the blurb on the back, and then they look at the first page.
You know, you're right. And in order to really prove your point, we're going to have you, when we do a future cast about individual books, have you read those first pages to give people a sense.
And I love my covers. My covers are fabulous.
And we should tell people that currently, as we record this, you have a publisher.
I do.
And that publisher is?
Stillwater River Productions in Pawtucket.
Okay, great.
They're a small independent.
Thank God for small independents, right?
They're wonderful.
Excellent.
And nice to work with.
I can't wait to hear more about these books. I've read them, and I can't wait to hear your take on them as we move along. Paula, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Amy Lynch Investigations Podcast, available for subscription and download on all major podcast platforms. Paula and Amy would certainly appreciate you reviewing and rating this podcast. And don't forget to find out more at pknortonauthor.com. Also check the Facebook page, P.K. Norton. This is Jordan Rich thanking you for joining us on this adventure.